Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Cesar Chavez Day came and went on March 31st with barely a mention. The coronavirus pandemic has pulled the focus away from commemorations that normally bring a community together. Marches were canceled. Calls for social justice, unionization, and labor rights were silenced by a silent killer. The struggles for which Cesar Chavez fought are still very much in play, more so now than possibly ever. There are 2.5 million agricultural workers in the U.S. Roughly half are undocumented. Those million-plus migrant workers don't have wage protections. Many live in fear of deportation. They don't have health insurance. There's no doctor to visit if they're sick. And there's little opportunity to practice safe social distancing while they're laboring in the fields. The U.S. government says farm workers are essential workers during the COVID-19 pandemic, just like first responders and healthcare workers and countless others who cannot work from home. The difference is half of all agricultural workers in the U.S. are not getting a cut of the $2 trillion government stimulus package. Mark Grossman is a spokesperson with United Farm Workers of America. The UFW is a labor union for farm workers established in 1962 and led by Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta. Grossman was Chavez's speechwriter and aide for 24 years. He says there's a big double standard when the government vilifies undocumented migrants while still referring to over a million of them as essential.
The problem is that although they're essential workers, unlike other workers who are considered essential, like grocery store workers or healthcare professionals, farm workers, many of them are not covered under state and federal social protective legislation. The right to organize, minimum wages and hours, all the New Deal protections that industrial workers have enjoyed for generations, most farm workers are not covered. Congress passed that more than $2.2 trillion stimulus measure and relief measure, but at least half of U.S. farm workers are not entitled to benefits, whether it's extended unemployment insurance or taxpayer checks that most taxpayers will get from the government because they're undocumented, according to the U.S. Department of Labor. So farm workers are essential. They really are American heroes because, you know, they're putting themselves at risk every day by going to work. Too often they must live and commute and work in close quarters in cramped and overcrowded conditions, often unsanitary conditions. So they even put themselves at greater risk than many other essential workers who are also required to do their jobs.
That's right. There's no social distancing in the fields. The UFW has done a really good job of putting out images and video on social media that display just that. They have to be right next to each other at the machines. Like you mentioned, they are living in the same quarters, many people to a room. So can you explain what the UFW is calling for in order to perhaps change some of these conditions for what the government now considers essential work?
Well, since the middle of March, the UFW put out two open letters to the agricultural industry, to growers and to their trade organizations, calling for really meaningful steps to protect workers' health and safety, and also to protect the domestic food supply. Now, the first thing the union did was go individually to each union grower, each grower that has a union contract that protects the workers. And those responses from those employers have been very encouraging. Some union employers have changed their picking practices and styles. Even if productivity is somewhat reduced, those employers that are union have implemented best workplace practices. They're training workers. Some companies have had special crew meetings to make sure the guidelines that have been issued by the government are actually being observed. most union workers, if they need to, can draw upon health care for the worker and family members on paid sick leave, vacations, and personal days off as well. And some union companies have gone above and beyond. And one company offered to pay the wages of workers if they become ill from COVID-19. And another company offered to pay for continuing medical care for workers, older workers, if they have to be laid off. But those responses from those unionized companies only highlight the urgent need for further, more widespread efforts, because we conduct polls. The UFW has very popular social media platforms that are followed by tens of thousands of farm workers. And we've conducted polls. Admittedly, they're not scientific, but they involve hundreds and hundreds of people who are participating. On March 11 and 13, we found that 90% of farm workers who were polled, who responded, shared that non-union employers had not provided information about best practices or made meaningful changes at the work site because of coronavirus. 77% of workers said that their employers had not provided information or implemented best practices. They face an array of dilemmas. You know, there's sick pay. Our experience is that most farm workers rarely use sick pay if it's available, since many non-union employers have made it difficult. You know, they require that you have to have a doctor's note, which the vast majority of farm workers have no health care. Sometimes they flat out deny requests or ridicule workers for asking for sick leave. And that's critical, because if people are ill, they shouldn't be going to work. Carpooling, which is a really tough issue. The great majority of farm workers have to carpool in, whether it's cars or vans or buses. They carry anywhere between 4 and 25 workers closely packed together, because workers, they lack the ability to buy a car, and many don't have driver's licenses. So they opt to carpool, and they pay anywhere between $8 and $15 a day for these rides. You asked earlier about, you know, the safety net. Again, according to the federal government, 50% of farm workers in the United States lack legal status. That means that they're not benefiting from the multi-trillion dollar stimulus relief bill that was recently passed by Congress. So, look, the agricultural industry just received $9.5 billion in grants and another $14 billion in loan assistance in that relief bill that Congress passed. But we know half of the farm workers in the U.S. won't be able to benefit at all from the extended unemployment insurance or the checks that taxpayers will receive from the government.
Even those farm workers who may be undocumented but have U.S.-born children, they still are excluded from that stimulus package, correct?
That's right. Many undocumented farm workers have nevertheless been in this country for many, many years. You know, even before 9/11, when crossing the border became so much more difficult and dangerous, you know, many workers have just remained in this country. They've set down roots in the community. Their children have been born here and are U.S. citizens, but they will not be eligible for these stimulus and relief benefits that are being provided to other workers who have lost their jobs, and also are available for other workers who are designated as essential workers.
Mark Grossman is a spokesperson with United Farm Workers of America. Coming up, essential farm workers can't reap what they sow.
And ironically, farm workers who produce the food all of us rely upon are themselves experiencing difficulty obtaining food to feed their families.
More with Mark Grossman is next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
What I haven't heard, and I want to really put an effort into understanding, is all the people that are working in the fields, the migrant workers that have been out there working tirelessly to put food inside of our stores. And no one ever speaks about them, and I haven't heard anybody speak about them. I say to all of you that are thinking about your first responders, please keep a good, solid thought for all the migrant workers and all the people that are working in the fields right now, trying to bring about an understanding of our food supply.
That's from a video posted on Twitter last month by actor Edward James Olmos. Farm workers are a vital threat in our food supply chain. The federal government says they're essential workers during the coronavirus outbreak. Half of these essential workers, though, are undocumented. They have no health care, they have no labor contract protections, and they live in fear of deportation. Mark Grossman was a speechwriter and aide for civil rights and labor rights icon Cesar Chavez for 24 years. Grossman is a spokesperson with United Farm Workers of America. Grossman says farm workers live and work in the shadow of COVID-19.
Well, actually, very disturbing reports that began late last week as we're seeing farm workers in various crops in California testing positive for COVID-19. It's starting to hit the fields. We're probably unaware of the true scope of the infection affecting agricultural workers, but we're seeing it now from the Coachella Valley in Southern California near Palm Springs, up and down the Central Valley, reports from the Central Coast, the Monterey Bay Area. And again, we're receiving most of this information through farm workers who are posting it on the UFW's social media platforms. You know, farm workers, they're officially designated as essential workers, but they really are genuine American heroes. They're taking personal risks, leaving their homes and going to work where they expose themselves to infection. Workers are, you know, also suffering other effects from the pandemic. For example, in the table grape industry, where workers had been laid off and were waiting to start the pre-harvest work, which is supposed to begin shortly. But now with COVID-19 hitting, workers are reporting that landlords are threatening them with eviction, despite a declaration from California Governor Gavin Newsom placing a temporary ban on evicting renters during this crisis. And ironically, farm workers who produce the food all of us rely upon are themselves experiencing difficulty obtaining food to feed their families. Since the government considers them essential workers and they must go to work, they often don't leave the fields until late in the day. And then they have to go to the food stores and shop for themselves and their families when, as you know, some commodities are in short supply, especially at the end of the day. These stores in rural farm towns are often smaller markets where workers are now beginning to be victimized by price gouging. But we're beginning to see these effects on farm workers beyond just the fear and the reality of becoming affected.
So if we were to see an outbreak of COVID-19 among the farm worker population and that population sees a dramatic decrease, that would absolutely drive up the price of produce and the groceries in the stores, which, as you pointed out, and as everybody knows who's ever been to a store in the last month or so, they're seeing shortages of just about everything. So if COVID-19 impacts farm workers, it's going to have an effect on all of us.
All of us have experienced going to the supermarket and seeing the shelves for toilet paper and paper towels, paper goods, completely wiped out. Imagine what would happen if COVID-19 ravages the farm worker population and the fresh fruits and vegetables and other commodities that rely on farm workers are also empty. Those shelves are also empty. It would be devastating. So the threat is not just to the health and safety of farm workers, it's to the safety of the food supply itself.
So this is something that you've been working for decades to get these reforms for farm workers, to see them unionized. You've marched alongside Cesar Chavez. You worked along him for many, many years. And do you think that this might finally be the turning point after decades of struggle and possibly seeing some reforms for farm workers?
Well, yes, you know, a lot of farm workers, when they hear that they are now deemed to be essential, it produces anger because farm workers will say they will express on our social media platforms, they say, so now they consider us essential. They didn't consider us essential when it came to providing minimum wages and hours, the right to organize, overtime pay, which the UFW won in California in 2016. But still, farm workers throughout the rest of the country are not entitled to the 50% of farm workers who are undocumented. Last December, the U.S. House of Representatives, for the first time in decades, passed a bipartisan bill. It got 34 Republican votes to enable farm workers to earn the right to permanently stay in this country by continuing to work in agriculture. The bill is in the Senate, but we're not sure where it's going there. But these equitable, long-sought remedies and reforms are all the more urgently needed now. And the equity issue, the argument for them is an even greater focus now that farm workers are considered by the rest of their countrymen and women to be essential workers, essential for the survival of the American people during this emergency. What we really need are actual, meaningful, genuine steps to implement mandatory practices. And the UFW has called on the industry for extending sick leave and eliminating wait periods for new workers to claim sick pay and implementing mandatory formal workplace plans to enforce social distancing, making sure that frequently touched surfaces are cleaned and disinfected multiple times a day. Arranging for easy access to medical services, as well as screening and testing and treatment for the great majority of non-union farm workers who have no health care. And working to cover farm workers, especially those who are undocumented, under the state and federal relief or stimulus benefits that excludes half of them because they have no legal papers.
Do you think that maybe the next, because there probably will be another stimulus package, the next $1 trillion+ package that will be introduced in Congress may offer some protections to farm workers, the undocumented ones at least?
Yeah, we hope so. To express appreciation for their essential services, some employers in other sectors are providing what amounts to hazard pay for employees if they have to keep working to keep the rest of us healthy and safe and fed. So hundreds of thousands of retail food workers are getting an extra $2 or $3 an hour. Some unionized growers are doing the same thing, providing pay raises or bonuses that amount to $1 or $2 an hour or more. But something as equitable and as fair as providing extra pay for those workers who must go to work to feed all of us, shouldn't farm workers receive that kind of consideration as well?
Mark Grossman is a spokesperson with United Farm Workers of America. The union has been fighting for farm workers' rights since 1962. Grossman was an aide and speechwriter for Cesar Chavez for 24 years. Relatives of people in ICE custody cope with fears about the possible spread of COVID-19 inside crowded detention centers. KTEP's Angela Cocherga has the story of one woman who waited for months for her husband's release.
The reaction is pure joy when Idelvis Arevalo Portuondo gets news from her husband's attorney that he is being released by ICE. The Cuban man is 56 years old, in poor health, has diabetes, and is considered at higher risk for COVID-19 complications. Portuondo said her husband told her during a recent phone call he feared the only way he would get out of detention is in a black body bag. Juan Diaz-Rodriguez has been in ICE custody for 5 months. His release came hours after the Catholic Bishop of El Paso, Physicians for Human Rights, and multiple immigrant advocacy organizations called on ICE to release nonviolent detainees during the COVID-19 pandemic. The couple from Cuba entered the U.S. seeking asylum together last summer. She was released on bond last fall, and is staying with his relatives in Florida. Attorney Miriam Cruz with the Diocesan Migrant and Refugee Services in El Paso has been fighting to have Diaz released because of his serious health problems before COVID-19 became a deadly threat.
Just a lot of weight off my shoulders, to be honest. A lot. Especially because I was able to help, you know, a couple, both the wife and the husband. It's just a great relief. It's a great relief to know that they will very, very soon in each other's arms.
Porto Hondo shares that relief. She and her husband will be social distancing together during the pandemic while they wait for a ruling on their asylum cases. In El Paso, I'm Angela Cocheriga.
Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Ben Henry is our podcast producer. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thank you.